This explained what Remy was doing in Ida Nee's backyard, under Ida Nee's pine trees. She was learning how to twirl a baton. Or that was what she was supposed to be doing. But then the girl in the pink dress fainted, and the twirling lesson came to a screeching halt. Ida Nee said, "This is ridiculous! No one faints in my classes! I don't believe in fainting!" Fainting didn't seem like the kind of thing that you needed to believe in or not in order for it to happen. But Ida Nee was a world champion twirler, and she probably knew what she was talking about. "It is just nonsense," said Ida Nee. "I don't have time for nonsense." This pronouncement was greeted with a small silence, and then Beverly Topinski slapped the girl in the pink dress. She slapped one cheek and then the other one.
"What in the world?" said Ida Nee.
"This is what you do for people who faint," said Beverly. "You slap them." She slapped the girl again.
"Wake up!" she shouted.
The girl opened her eyes.
"Uh-oh," she said. "Has the county home come? Is Marcia Jean here?"
"I don't know any Marcia Jean," said Beverly. "You fainted."
"Did I?" she blinked. "I have very swampy lungs."
"This lesson is over," said Ida Nee. "I'm not wasting my time with lollygaggers and malingerers, or fainters."
"Good," said Beverly. "No one wants to learn how to twirl a stupid baton anyway." Which was not true. Remy wanted to learn. In fact, she needed to learn. But it didn't seem like a good idea to disagree with Beverly. Ida Nee marched away from them, down to the lake. She lifted her white booted legs very high. You could tell that she was a world champion just by watching her march.
"Sit up," said Beverly to the fainting girl.
The girl sat up. She looked around her in wonder, as if she had been deposited on Ida Nee's property by mistake. She blinked. She put her hand on her head.
"My brain feels light as a feather," she said.
"Duh," said Beverly. "That's because you fainted."
"I'm afraid that I wouldn't have made a very good flying elefante," said the girl.
There was a long silence.
"What's an elefante?"
asked Remy finally. The girl blinked. Her blonde hair shone white in the sun.
"I'm an elefante. My name is Louisiana Elefante. My parents were the Flying Elefantes. Haven't you heard of them?"
"No," said Beverly. "We haven't heard of them. You should try to stand up now."
Louisiana put her hand on her chest. She took a deep breath. She wheezed. Beverly rolled her eyes.
"Here,"
she said. She held out her hand. It was a grubby hand. The fingers were smudged, and the nails were dirty and chewed down. But in spite of its grubbiness, or maybe because of it, it was a very certain-looking hand. Louisiana took hold of it, and Beverly pulled her to her feet.
"Oh, my goodness," said Louisiana. "I'm just all filled up with feathers and regrets. And fears. I have a lot of fears."
She stood there staring at both of them. Her eyes were dark. They were brown. No, they were black. And they were set very deep in her face. She blinked.
"I've got a question for you," she said. "Have you ever, in your life, come to realize that everything, absolutely everything, depends on you?"
Remy didn't even have to think about the answer to this question.
"Yes," she said. "Duh," said Beverly.
"It's terrifying, isn't it?" said Louisiana.
The three of them stood there looking at one another. Remy felt something expanding inside of her. It felt like a gigantic tent billowing out.
This, Raimi knew, was her soul.